This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Patty White with the news on This Day in Maine, Friday, June 7th, 2024. The Maine State Police today released more than 3,000 pages of heavily redacted documents from its investigation into the Lewiston shootings. Steve Missler reports.
The trove of documents is difficult to piece together because of the redactions, but includes several new details about law enforcement's manhunt for the gunman and what police learned along the way. Among them is that the gunman, Robert Card, went to a shooting range with an unnamed friend just a few hours before the shooting that killed 18 people and wounded 13 others. The friend told police he left the range because Card was acting erratically. Also, a source told police that an ex-girlfriend of Card's was supposed to be at the bowling alley the night of the shooting, but did not show up. The documents also include a review by the Pennsylvania State Police, which says local authorities' search of Card's home 14 hours after the shooting came, quote, far too late. But it did back a decision by Maine police not to use search dogs to try and find him after he ditched his car at a Lisbon boat launch. An after-action report by the Maine State Police tactical team had a similar assessment, but its rationale for that finding was redacted. The Maine State Police are expected to release additional documents in response to public records requests, but have offered no definitive timetable. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
And shortly after releasing the documents online, Maine State Police say the website experienced technical difficulties and the documents have temporarily been taken down. They expect they'll be back up by 5 p.m. Monday. The Kennebec County Sheriff's Office uncovered two illegal marijuana growing operations on Thursday, adding to a growing tally of similar operations across central Maine. At one property in Manchester, officers seized more than 1,000 marijuana plants. At another site in Farmingdale, officers found evidence that a large cannabis harvest had recently taken place. And today in York County, law enforcement found more than 2,500 marijuana plants growing illegally at a residence in Parsons Field. Homeland Security investigations, the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration, and the Maine Office of Cannabis Policy assisted with the investigations. Federal prosecutors say there are an estimated 100 illegal marijuana grow operations in Maine with potential connections to organized crime. The Somerset County Jail is facing two wrongful death lawsuits following two inmate deaths in recent years. Virgil White died by suicide in December of 2022, and Mitchell Watson died in February of last year of a suspected drug exposure. Both lawsuits charge the jail and staff with deliberate indifference to medical needs and failure to train and supervise personnel. White was being held on bail on charges in Franklin County. His mental health issues had been reported to jail staff, and he had just returned from Riverview Psychiatric Center. Stephen Smith, the attorney for both cases, says the families of the men believe that jail staff should have acted sooner to protect them.
The ability of the jail to perform adequate safety checks and to provide adequate treatment to Mr. White was grossly inadequate.
Somerset County Sheriff Dale Lancaster said in an email that he's unable to comment on the lawsuits. Maine State Police say a girl vacationing in Maine with her family has died. Police say last Saturday they received reports of an injured child in Limerick, where the family was staying. Officials say 6-year-old Lucy Morgan of New Jersey was unintentionally injured while playing outside with her 10-year-old brother. The aluminum shaft of a badminton racket had become dislodged from the wooden handle and pierced her skull. She was transported by Life Flight to Maine Medical Center, but died from her injuries Wednesday. A dead humpback whale entangled in fishing gear was found in southern Maine waters this week. According to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, on Wednesday, the Maine Marine Patrol was alerted about a whale in a net off of Cape Elizabeth. NOAA says by the time responders arrived on scene, the 40-foot female, known as Chunk, was dead. The agency is investigating the death. Chunk was towed to shore Thursday and will undergo a necropsy. According to NOAA, Chunk was found severely entangled in 2015, but responders were able to free her and she appeared healthy in the years since. Despite a 20% drop in online sportsbook revenue for May, the Maine Gambling Control Unit says sports betting in Maine remains strong. Gross receipts in May were actually up by 4%. And Executive Director Milt Champion says there were $2 million more in payouts.
They just had a lot more winners in May versus April. and those things happen.
Tax revenue from online sports betting rose by more than 50% between February and March thanks to college basketball's March Madness tournament. Champion says the state remains on track to hit its end-of-year tax revenue goal of $6 million, with almost $2 million in taxes collected so far this year. Madison, Maine-based Timber HP, the first North American company to produce wood fiber insulation, is partnering with a French company to expand distribution into Canada. Timber HP President Joshua Harvey says Saint-Gobain and its subsidiary CertainTeed will provide access to Canadian markets that have not been available in the past.
And so this is just a tremendous bonus for us that we really didn't see coming.
The company currently offers two types of insulation in the U.S. and in the coming months will expand to offer a third product in the U.S. and begin marketing all three in Canada. It's now time for Maine's Political Pulse, our analysis of government and politics.
You're listening to Maine's Political Pulse. I'm Erwin Gratz, joined today by Maine Public Statehouse correspondent Kevin Miller. Maine holds a primary election next Tuesday, but Kevin, this is going to be the state's second primary election this year.
Yeah, that's right. So folks may remember that we just had a primary on March 5th, but that was only for the presidential races. But this primary next Tuesday will be for congressional seats, the legislature, as well as county commissioners.
At the top of the ballot will be congressional races. Now, with Democrats holding both seats, the competition will be among the Republicans to see who will challenge the incumbents. So, Kevin, let's begin in the 1st District. Set it up for us.
Yeah, so in the 1st District, we have a Republican primary between two candidates. Ronald Russell spent 30 years in the Army. He was an Airborne Ranger and was qualified as a Special Forces member, a Green Beret. He worked in the defense contracting industry after that and then had several businesses before he retired and came back to Maine. The other candidate is Andrew Piantedosi. He has spent a few decades in the tech industry, grew up in Connecticut, been up here in Maine for some time with his family, his wife, and they live in Cape Elizabeth. It's been a pretty low profile primary, I'd say. And I think a big part of that is that in the 1st District, which is southern and coastal Maine, it's very reliably Democratic district. Congresswoman Shelley Pingree, she's been in office for about 16 years now, and she usually wins the November election with about 60% of the vote.
Well, in the 2nd District, we have a Republican primary that pits a former race car driver against a former actor.
Yeah, that's right. So the 2nd District primary is between two freshman members of the Maine House, and they have some pretty interesting backgrounds, as you just mentioned. So on one side, we have Austin Terrio. He's a 30-year-old former race car driver from Fort Kent. He raced in the NASCAR Truck Series for a bit, and then he actually got his start in the big NASCAR Cup Series back in 2019. Since then, Austin, he switched his focus from driving to the business side of racing. He said he always liked business. I sat down with Terrio at a restaurant in Machias a few weeks ago, and he told me that although he doesn't have much political experience, he believes he has the business experience and the demeanor that voters should be looking for at this point.
So I said, you know, now is the time to run. There's so much craziness going on around our country. If now is the time to be a voice of sanity and a voice of common sense, it's going to be now, because people are listening and they're wanting something. They're wanting something different. They're wanting some change.
And then his primary opponent is Mike Sobolewski. He's from Phillips. He's another native Mainer, but he was an actor in New York City for more than a decade. Mike has run several businesses here in Maine, including a bar and a restaurant in Augusta. And then most recently, he helped coordinate the 2020 census here in Maine for the U.S. Census Bureau. And during one of my conversations with him, he pointed to his Marine Corps service and his lengthy experience in business.
I've actually been out there. I have the experience, multiple experiences. I know how corporate America works. I know how businesses are run. So, recruiting race car drivers, yeah, that's nice, okay? But when you actually start getting into multiple businesses with multiple payrolls, multiple issues, that's a completely different animal right there.
Do you have a sense for which candidate has more momentum heading into the primary?
They both describe themselves as conservative, and they've both been campaigning on what have really become red meat Republican issues like the economy, border security, the flow of fentanyl into the U.S. and Maine, and government overspending. Austin Terrio has picked up some big endorsements, and we're talking House Speaker Mike Johnson and Donald Trump. That's helped Austin raise quite a bit of money for a congressional primary here in Maine, more than $1 million. And that's allowed him to air TV ads and to do a lot more aggressive self-promotion than Mike Sobolewski has. As far as what this means for November, Austin Terrio already has the backing of national Republicans, as I just mentioned, but I would suspect that that support would probably transfer to Mike Sobolewski if he won the primary. But the second district is a swing district. Democrats have held it for most of the past several decades. But like a lot of rural America, it's getting increasingly conservative and Republican. Jared Golden, he's a moderate Democrat, but two of his three wins were decided by ranked choice runoffs.
There are only a few contested primaries among the 186 legislative seats that are up this year. Kevin, I understand there's a fairly unusual Democratic primary, though, for a House seat in Waterville. What's happening there?
Yes, so this one is unusual, and it's interesting because we are seeing an internal Democratic fight over abortion. This is House District 65. The incumbent in the race is Democratic Representative Bruce White. But groups like Planned Parenthood's Political Action Committee have been trying to defeat Representative White because he's voted against several bills to expand access to abortion and to protect abortion providers here in Maine. And his opponent in the primary, Cassie Julia, says she got into this race because her young daughter actually flagged Representative White's votes on abortion. Abortion has become a major campaign issue for Democrats, but it's normally against Republicans. And this is the first time that Planned Parenthood Action Fund has actually endorsed a candidate in a legislative primary here in Maine.
That's Maine's Political Pulse, featuring host Erwin Gratz and State House correspondent Kevin Miller. And that's today's Maine news. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 Monday morning, legal marijuana grow operations in Maine. I'm Patty White. Thanks for listening.